This is Beers and Buckets, a podcast for degenerates like us who drink beer and watch basketball. I'm one of your hosts, Connor, and like always, I'm joined by Dal. Actually, no, Dal's not here. I'm joined by Kyle and Matt. So Dal was in New York, and then he got home a little bit later than he expected. He said, "You guys go on without us." So we said, "Rest up, buddy." And we won't get bullied tonight, guys. Like, that's the thing, is that Dal likes to bully us with stats. So we don't get bullied tonight. So it's a night off for us. We're not feeling like crap after we record this, because the statistician just keeps on coming and coming and coming in waves. So let me ask you guys a question here. Got a couple of questions for you. In the last 5 years, what is one of the more memorable upsets in college basketball for you? Just give me one right now.
I'm going to go ahead and start because I don't want it stolen. Virginia versus UMBC. 16 versus 1, only time ever. I mean,
first time ever, only time ever.
I don't want to say it's probably the only one ever, but it's first time and might be a while.
Yeah, no, that's a great one. That's a good one. What about you, Kyle?
Yeah, hey, what's going on, by the way, fellas? It's been a couple weeks, feels like it's been a couple years since I've been on here, but I mean, there were some good ones last year. Oral Roberts, I love that team. Yeah. Ohio State.
Shoot, that whole tournament last year was upset.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's easy to pick, you know what Matt said, but I like that Oral Roberts team so much. And then you had Abilene Christian last year too. So, I mean, I don't want to take yours or anything, but just last year, you know, within the last year, we had two really good ones in the tournament, at least. I mean, obviously that Virginia upset was ridiculous, because it wasn't even like a buzzer beater or anything. It wasn't even overtime. It was a total blowout, you know, just domination. So it was one of the more fun ones to watch that wasn't a buzzer beater. So yeah, a lot of them recently.
Yeah. I tried to think of one and that wasn't going to hurt my soul and my heart. But I mean, the most memorable upset in the last 5 years for me was Evansville over Kentucky, just because we were coming off of beating Michigan State. I think we had just been picked number one. Tyrese Maxey was just like the absolute man. Like, he was just like, no one could touch him after that Michigan State game, hit that big shot. And then we go and drop a stinker to Evansville at home, against a really bad Evansville team. It's not even like an Evansville team that, you know, like ended up doing well in the tournament. Like, they were last in their conference, and it was embarrassing.
Poor Walter falls from the altar.
Yeah. You know,
right after that.
That was the loss that kept on giving. It was the gift that kept on giving with that loss. It was like a quad eight loss. Like, that's how bad it felt.
Got family that lives in Evansville, and she went to Evansville, and you know, like, she was at the game, I believe. And you know, it was just nuts. And they were riding high with Walter and everything. And then all of a sudden he just, you know, totally just falls.
I will say to that point, Connor, mine and Kyle's, at least if I understood the one Kyle picked, that's it. Nail in the coffin, stick a fork in them, they're done. Now, granted, for Virginia, they were happening to come back and win the title next year, so maybe that. But I think yours becomes easier for me to swallow and the fan base to swallow, because that team turned out really good, and there's really no team-related heartbreak at the end of the season.
Absolutely,
Since there was no tournament, 2020 would have been ours, which who knows? I mean, you know how the tournament goes. But that, it would have been one thing if that would have been like the 2016 team that lost to the second round. Like, so you had a bad loss, or if that had been like last year. But at least the reason I couldn't get behind that one too much, and as mine and Kyle,
it's just one that sticks out to me. That was my thing. It's one that sticks out to me. But the bright side of it is that we didn't even get a tournament that year, which kind of sucked. But at the same time, we didn't have to watch Selection Sunday, where they bring up that loss again and remind Kentucky fans of that loss again in that season for like the 50th time.
Well, not the about like on that team. what would have sucked is, because if you're being realistic, we'd have probably got a 2 or a 3 seed instead of a 1. And the two losses they would have brought up would have been Evansville and then the 20-point blown lead to Tennessee about a week earlier.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, that was kind of a nice dodged bullet there.
Like, we didn't have to see that on Selection Sunday, but we were still on pace to do get a 2 seed after dropping to a really bad Evansville team. So, and we had won the SEC by, what was it, 3 games? So,
yeah. I try not to think about that.
Auburn was so good that year, too.
Yeah, so. And I try not to think about that year in general, you know, like including the college basketball the year that season. Could have been. Like, it's all a blur. Yeah. It's all a blur.
That was such a wacky year, man. That was such a fun but wacky year. So,
yeah, I love that team a lot. Sorry, I just try not to think about it because it was all potential, you know.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So, all right, let me give you another question, and then we'll keep. Well, then we'll move on to Shark Tank upsets. So, if you had to pick a single coach of this list to have a beer with, who would you pick between Chris Mack, Bill Self, Will Wade, and Tom Crean? I'm not picking Tom Crean because he's the type of guy that's going to slip you a roofie based off what I've seen on the court.
He's going to try to kiss you. It's going to be awkward. Yeah. You just don't know.
Yeah, so he's going to kiss you on the mouth and hug your neck.
Will Wade, you're going to get Will a nice big-ass offer. But also,
I'm not going with Chris Mack because he's going to extort me at some point. He's going to record that whole conversation.
If we're being completely honest, like just what we know of these people, Chris Mack seems like an asshole.
Thing with Self is Self loves to buy beers because apparently he buys all the media beers at, you know, the big wherever, the tournaments or whatever.
Yeah, give me Will Wade.
Yeah, I'm between Wade and Self. I mean,
I'm probably going to go Self to have just because he's won a championship. He's probably got better stories. Will Wade's going to be like, well, I had this top 10 recruit and then I didn't pay enough money for him. So, screw that guy, you know, like I'm not going to sit here and listen to that because he also just seems like a whiner. Like all these coaches are whiners, but Will Wade definitely seems like the biggest whiner there is of this.
Yeah,
list,
I think from what I hear, Self is going to be, you're going to have probably the most fun and have the best stories coming from Self. He's been around a block, you know, so I think it'd be a good time.
And you will have toupee.
I thought you were going to continue with that, but no. But yeah. It was just a bad hair joke.
Yeah.
Just a bad hair joke.
Yeah, that one does.
Okay. So we're going to move on to Shark Tank upsets.
Hell of a dad joke right there. Oh, bravo.
Yeah.
Bravo. Yeah.
You're about 2 more of those away from being kicked off this podcast forever, but it's okay. We're going to move on to Shark Tank upsets. This is where each of us pitches a game this upcoming week that is prime for upset, but you provide stats or some sort of reasoning to persuade the other host to buy in. We're going to pitch it like a Shark Tank style if you've ever seen the TV show, but the Sharks can either buy a pint, a case, a keg, or they can be completely out. And if they need to insult you, they can do that too. So why don't you take it away? Why don't you guys take it away and give us your upset this week?
Well, first off, I went to Google and just to kind of get mine back up here. I was going to go USC at Stanford. Has that been postponed? Do we have official announcement? Because anyway, so I'm going to pretend if it's not, because we're at a point in the season where, look, I got hot earlier on, but we're at a point in the season where we could all, whatever we all say tonight, could very well happen. Could also not happen, and then the next week. Because, like, you notice Kansas. What was that I picked, Connor? Kansas at Iowa State. Missed that one. Kansas then loses to Texas Tech. So we're at that point of the schedule, and this is this kind of season where the one we pick probably is not going to happen, but we're close, right? Like, if you project Kansas is going to lose this week, they probably will, just probably not the one that you or someone else picks. But I was going USC at Stanford if that game's still on.
Right now it is, it looks like.
USC it's showing that it's not canceled yet, so – it's Tuesday, and it's 5 o'clock at that time. So I think it's 9 o'clock Eastern.
So hopefully that's the case. I'm just reading an article, something about it being scheduled to 2. I don't know. Time zones throw me off. But no matter when it is, I just don't think USC has played anybody really that I'm aware of. And just teams struggle coming off these postponements. And that's how you get got, especially being a good team.
Teams struggle also when your concessions aren't there, when you have no concessions for your fans like Duke, or you have no student section like Vanderbilt this upcoming Tuesday. So what are we doing? What are we freaking doing? Like, what does it matter if there's food or drink or not? Like, it's an airborne virus. Like, what does it freaking matter? Like, just let people eat and drink if they want to. Like, what are we doing here? And the students, well, like, they're not bringing the students back, but all the fans who live and work and are surrounded by way more of the people. Like, what are we doing here?
I'm in the dark. I mean, sorry, is that so people don't have their mask taken down for eating and drinking?
That's what I was thinking, because when I went to the
Kentucky game. Are they having a mask, please, that's going around and just saying, put your mask on?
I don't know. Nobody's wearing it. I mean, not that I really even care. Like, I probably wouldn't wear a mask either, but nobody's wearing masks at games anyways.
Look, I think the mask ordinance is like every other thing you read, every other thing you do. You walk into any business, it's basically the cover. It's CYA. It's to cover their ass. And if you choose not to wear it and you end up dying from anything – just like if you choose not to wear whatever and you go to some kind of amusement park and you fall and die, hey, you chose not to wear that. I think that's what it is. It's going to be impossible to enforce.
I didn't even hear they did that at Duke. They did that at Duke?
I didn't either.
Yeah, it was Saturday night. They implemented it and they lost to Miami. Direct correlation. That's my theory. Direct correlation that you don't have concessions, your team's going to lose.
You got to have the popcorn and the ice cream.
God, what are we doing though? Like, one makes no sense.
But anyways,
makes no sense. So, Matt, but yes, Matt, USC and Stanford is still on. So
yeah, for now, assuming it happens.
What's your reasoning behind it besides that USC is coming off postponement? Is that like that? That's your big thing?
Well, so if we're going to be honest, this seems like the type of season where, I don't watch a lot of out West games. I know there's been a lot of postponements. I know a lot of those states have varying degrees of rules. But I think this is the season for home teams because everybody, especially in the Southeastern Conference where our team is, the home team is just salivating to get back out there. So you're going to have packed houses. So basically every home game kind of becomes, you know how there's always that thing, oh, Kentucky's everybody's Super Bowl? Well, that's every home game now, in my opinion. Every home game, the crowd is just dying to be there, dying to act a fool. Yes, it may lead to a fight or two, but they're just dying to show out. So I'm always going to give a little bit of a nod to a home team. But then when you got a team coming in off, and if I'm not mistaken, I think it's been kind of like they played like 2 weeks. It's one of those ones where you kind of go in, not even sure if the game's going to be canceled or not. So I'm just going to ride with the home team on that. 13-0. I mean, especially in the Pac-12, how many times do you, if you're Stanford, if you're Cal, if you're one of these teams, do you get a top 15 team get to come in and you get to make some noise? And it's one of those ones, it's like a very preseason-y, very 13. You know how like at the first week, like football and basketball, there's that top 15 team that you're like effing phony? In my opinion, that could be USC, and we'll find out. But like that just feels like a cheap 13-rank win. And I feel like
Stanford's definitely going to take advantage. They definitely rode the wave of Evan Mobley from last year. So I think they're still riding on that tournament win. They made it made it pretty far in the tournament last year. Here's some numbers for it that I think back you up, is that when USC has the ball, they shoot 35% from three, 54 from two. Their free throw percentage is 60. That's 356th in the nation, which is disgusting. And then when Stanford has the ball, they're not much better at free throws. They're 64.8%. Stanford has a turnover percentage of 22.4, which is which is not good. However, USC's defense is, their defense turns the ball over 14.5%. So they're 342nd in the nation on that. So it's going to be ugly basketball is what I'm seeing.
Yeah, this is a tough one for me.
And it's going to be bad.
If you're a good team and you come off a break, it might be hard to get back to your good level. If you have bad numbers that you just said, you're probably not going to. I don't see you coming out in every low number you gave being high all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, is that it's at Stanford. So being that it's at Stanford, USC shoots 60% from free throws. Stanford has 39.9% of bench minutes, so they use their bench more than, you know, compared to USC's, which is 27%. I'm going to go with a case on this. I'm going to buy a case on this one.
Wow. Okay.
Cause I just, yeah, I mean, Stanford's like said, coming off that prolonged period of not playing, they suck at free throws, and the foul is just, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be really ugly.
They haven't played since the 23rd. They beat Liberty by 3. which is a pretty good win.
Yeah.
I'm back and forth. I'm going to take, but I will have a pint. Just give me a little pint and I'll have a taste and we'll see how we do. So on ESPN at 5 o'clock. So something everybody can watch. I like it.
Also, KenPom has USC winning this one 73-68 with a 69% confidence is what it looks like. So nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you have a little bit of pocket change and you live in a place where you could bet, I would put maybe like $10 on this and maybe parlay it with another game and see if it hits. Yes, I like it though. I'll buy a case on this.
All right.
Good pick, Matt. This is a good game. It's a good game to pick.
All right. I was back and forth. I kind of want to, since Dal isn't with us today, I'm gonna go ahead and rep the Deeks for our buddy Dal. So they got Duke coming in on Wednesday, I believe. Yes, Wednesday. Duke's obviously coming off the loss to Miami. I didn't get a chance to watch a whole lot of that game on Saturday, but it sounded like their guards are having some issues. Moore wasn't playing too well, Keels. And so they're Wake, actually, when you look at the numbers, they're very similar teams. Duke is a little bit better, you know, obviously with their athletes. They're a little bit better defensively in the steals and blocks department. But I think Wake is going to, it's going to be one of those things like you were talking about, Matt, how Wake is, it's going to be, they're going to be fired up, with Duke coming in there. You know, they're kind of rolling right now. They haven't played the best schedule in the world, but they just beat Syracuse on Saturday in overtime. They got a big win against FSU, by 22. They've had close losses. So I just think it's going to be one of those games, like you were talking about, Matt, where their home team just rides the momentum. Duke maybe is going through some issues at the guard positions. Paolo maybe gets in a little foul trouble. It's just going to be one of those road environments that, you know, it's going to be a tight one. This may go to overtime, but I think Wake's going to pull it off.
I'm all in on this one.
All right.
All in.
Yeah, I like it. I think we can go ahead and assume Dow's going to have a couple cases of that. I don't know.
I don't know if he's too much of a homer or if he'd be.
Yeah, he may have played reverse psychology on this one. I don't know. But we'll get the word from him and see what he's thinking on it.
I'll take a free sample because I like what you said about getting to overtime. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me if I'm betting, you know, if I'm going down and I'm betting on upsets and I'm betting on a big dog to go down. Let's be honest. Right. Duke, I mean, Duke's a top five team, no matter what you think of them there or what, you know, whether they'd be ranked. It's just tough to get them twice.
Right.
You get a team at you get, especially when you lose one at home. Now, granted, as a Kentucky fan, we've seen what happens when these young dudes get in their head. You know,
they might have a little hangover, you know.
I'm torn, but I'm going to go with my gut on this one because I was looking at it when we were preparing these and I was, you know, like, nope. So I'm going to still ride with that nope. But if there's a free sample, I might sniff, let it breathe a little bit. But I'm probably not going to buy it. I'm not going to spend anything on it.
Yeah, I mean, this is tight. I mean, it's, you know, like you said, it's hard to, you know, Cade rarely loses two in a row with a team with this much talent. You know, so it'll be tight.
I mean, it's conference play too, and that's just going to be wild. So, like, if you were telling me Duke's going to lose a game this week, because I don't know who they play on Saturday or their second game of the week, I'd be like, give me some, because, I mean, it's conference.
Right.
But being that one, just going to follow my gut on that one and say, nah.
Yeah, so they've got NC State at home on Saturday. So,
what's wild about this game is the average height for both teams. Duke is 78, Wake Forest is 78.5.
Yeah, so, like I said, they're very similar as far as numbers and just, you know,
it's like almost the exact same. The only difference is when Wake has the ball, their offensive rebound percentage is 25.8, which is not very good. Yeah. However,
I would like to see some science. Go ahead.
Duke, and we saw this against Miami, their rebounding is sus a lot.
Right.
Like
I just think they're kind of an inconsistent team overall.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we've seen that Trevor Keels had one good game, and I mean, he used it on the very first night of the freaking season. But I just think Wake Forest will have, like, they're rolling. They won. They came back. They were down a little bit. I forgot who they played this past weekend.
Syracuse in overtime. They won.
Yeah. Yeah. They were down. They came back. They won in overtime. I think they're like, oh, we got Duke at home. We could grab the conference by the throat here.
Yeah.
With a solid win, even in overtime, whatever they need to do, just get a win. Their 2-point percentage is 58.8, which is fourth in the nation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it could be a matter of, like I said, you know, Duke may have, if they can get somebody in foul trouble, you know, Williams or Paolo or something like that, it's going to be tough for them to shoot that kind of 2-point percentage against Duke. But if they can, and you know, hit a few threes, make their free throws, I think they can pull it out. It's going to be tight, like I said. It's going to come down to the end. I don't think either team is going to blow the other one out. So it'll be a great game to watch. I don't catch a whole lot of ACC games overall, but you know, that'll be one that I'll tune in for, just for our buddy Dal.
Okay, I'm going to open up with trivia since Dal isn't here. I'll take the trivia question, but I think you guys know the answer because you probably cheated. Do you know what school Jordan Clarkson played for that he was drafted from?
That he was drafted from?
At Tulsa.
I don't even know.
Are you playing down?
Yes, it was Tulsa. It was Tulsa, you cheaters. But anyways, Tulsa is playing at home against Houston, number 3 Houston. Both teams shoot about the same percentage from
number 3.
You got 3 and 2. That's what it was listed on here, I think, is what it had on.
I thought Houston was 12.
Upcoming games. Oh, yeah, no, you're right. I was thinking of
a different game. I mean, 12. If I'm not mistaken, I mean, they've lost 2 games, which, look, everybody in the top 25.
They're number 3 on KenPom. So. That's what it is. They're number 3 on KenPom. Yeah, KenPom number 3, number 12 in the AP poll. But it's a home game for Tulsa. Both teams shoot about the same percentage. Tulsa has a 17.9% turnover percentage, so they somewhat take care of the ball. And there's not many, too many stats persuade you one way or the other. This is just feels like a good trap game for Houston. I feel like they haven't played any, like, a lot of good teams. And I think they're just ready. Like, it just seems like this is a complacent game for them that they're going to get upset on.
Yeah.
So you won't hurt my feelings if you're not in on it, but this just seems like one of those games where it's going to come down to the wire and the home team is just going to play out like Matt was saying.
So I think it's going to be one of those games that's closer than it should be, but I got to stay away from buying in on this one. But I think it will be one of those games that's probably a little bit closer than it should be, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe a single digit game, single digit margin at the end. But I mean, Tulsa's got a lot of close losses.
Yeah, they do.
Lost by 3 at Memphis, 5 against SMU.
They've got a lot of close with you.
Yeah.
Houston's defense is really good. So, like, I can see this game being a total blowout for Houston. But like I said, I think they're just kind of sleepwalking right now. And Tulsa's going to come out and hit them in the mouth. Because when Tulsa does, you know, get on a roll like that, they'll make a lot of shots in a row. And yeah.
Tulsa's got a ton of close losses.
Houston just feels like a little bit of a fraud this year to me. I don't know. I had really high expectations for them, and they kind of faltered a little bit.
Yeah, I can't go with it. But, you know, I like where your head's at. It might be a little closer than what people expect, but it's like they got like a 95% or 90% on the matchup predictor. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I have a rule. I can't go with the team that I forget plays basketball. I mean, I do. Like, there's a lot of schools in the MAC, a lot of schools in, you know, which I guess now American because they loaded up with all those teams. But, like, I forget, like, Navy plays. I forget, like, Tulsa plays. Tulane, I'm sure they have a team. Who knows? Those teams like that, I tend to forget. And when I see it, I just – and if what you said is true, Connor, which I didn't watch a lot of Houston, defensive teams are hard to pull an upset on. Just because it's hard to get in a rhythm.
Yeah, and defense travels, you know.
If Houston played like Alabama, where they just we're going to shoot more threes than you. Hey, I'm here for you getting cold anytime you're on the road. Yeah. But if they're good defensively, especially against a team where, I mean, what's their recruiting class? I know that doesn't always matter, but like if you don't have that dude that's going to, if you don't have that dude that can break up a defense, then and since I've not heard of Tulsa do anything, I'm going to imagine they don't. And
It could be. So it's, I think here's another stat. Like 60, here's another one, something like that.
Here's another last ditch effort, just to see if all you guys want to buy just maybe a pint, even one can of a six pack. I don't care.
Another free sample. Anybody?
Yeah. Free samples on me if you want it. Free throw percentage for Tulsa when they have the ball, 78.5%, meaning they are 15th in the nation. This is a home game for Tulsa. Houston, when they have the ball, 66.2%. That's 306th in the nation, meaning they suck at free throws bad. Let's look at another one. I have another real quick. The two foul participation stat that Dow like just gets off on. 30.4% for Tulsa, meaning that they play a lot of players with two fouls. Houston is 18.5%. They're 195th in the nation. So if like let's say Kyler Edwards and Josh Carlton getting some foul trouble early and Tulsa strikes, this is a ball game. 100% a ball game. So that's all I'm gonna leave you with.
I mean, I'm with you on it being a ball game. I just can't do the whole upset. I'm with you on it being a ball game though for maybe 35 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That's how I kind of felt about Florida and Auburn this past week. It was like, oh, Florida has a chance, and then they lost by 13 or whatever it was. But yeah. All right, we'll move on. Okay, so now it's time for a beer review. This is the part of the podcast where each of us reviews a beer we either never had before or we just highly recommend. We talk about the brand, the brewery, the IBUs and the ABVs, and we describe the flavor, we compare it to a basketball team or anything basketball related. And the question we all want to know is, would you drink it again? So why don't you guys take it away? Because I'm super excited to hear about your beer.
All right. Well, I'll start here because usually mine doesn't get too deep. So we're in the random phase, which I really like because it really allows me to broaden my horizon. So this time I sent my wife to the liquor store because she had to do some errands today. So she brought me home one, and it's BrewDog Hazy Jane. Oh, what was that? Somebody.
That wasn't me. My mic was muted. Was that you, Kyle?
Oh,
that's me.
That's going to make the cut.
I'm going to need Hazy Jane to get me over this. So we got Hazy Jane. It's got like a cool blue can. Like obviously I don't know shit about it. It's IPA, so I don't think I like those. I think that's what we had last time that wasn't very good. It's brewed in Ohio. Got a little dog doing a little flex on it. A New England style IPA. It's from Boston. My khakis.
United We Stand. Come on, Boston.
I do love that commercial.
I love that
like I said, Hazy Jane. Got like a little badge on it. It says, United We Stand for better beer, fiercely defiant and independent. Embrace the opaque, which I'm pretty sure is a paint color. One pint, 7.2% alcohol. So let's crack it open and see what it tastes like. For just shits and giggles, do you think I will like it?
No, immediately no.
Immediately no. Okay.
I just, so it pops. You don't like anything besides like Bud Light is what I've
cold from, Bud Light, yeah.
From like the 8 episodes that we've done. I think there's one that you're like, oh, I wouldn't drink it again on my own choice, but I will drink it out of
the Hershey, Yingling, whatever.
That's the only one that you've liked so far. So,
So let's see. I will say, very citrusy smell, not overbearing like the last time. The last time I believe we had an IPA, it smelled like a drunk man had. It smelled like I was smelling somebody's breath who drank an IPA. This one doesn't feel near as overpowering. Better. I mean, It's definitely bitter, but if I could go back in time and bump into myself and say, hey, Matt, what are you doing? He's like, I got to get an IPA for the show. I'd get this one. I don't know if it's because the last one was so bad. I don't know if it's because the more random shit we drink on the show, the more it kind of, I don't know.
It's growing on me a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think I drink enough for it to say changing my taste, but yeah, I could see myself I'll put it like this. If I was single back in the day, mingling, right? And I hit up some snooty, and I was talking to some snooty chick, and she's like, oh my God, I love IPA. I'd drink this and get away with it. You could think I enjoyed a good IPA. I could pull the wool over the eyes, if you will. Definitely not going to gag like I did the last one. So,
well, to be fair, it's a hazy IPA, correct?
A hazy Jane. So maybe it's hazy and the girl's name is Jane.
So, yeah, hazy IPAs are definitely more, from what I've heard, I'm not a super duper IPA guy, so I try to not drink them. But in my experience, people have told me to get either fruit-flavored IPAs or hazy fruit-flavored IPAs or, you know, whatever. If it says hazy, that is going to be more enjoyable than a regular IPA. So there you go. Maybe you just found your niche there.
If I was going to compare it to a basketball game, this would be more like playing Alabama than playing Houston. The other one was tough to get through. Couldn't do it. This one's a little smoother. It's going to be a tough challenge. Don't get me wrong. It's going to be tough to drink what is it, 16 ounces? It's going to be a battle. But it's going to be a little bit more smooth, free-flowing than that Houston game. So this is a good, smooth, free-flowing game. I'll give it a 6.5.
So I'm going to go this week. I'm going to do a Red Stripe. Hooray beer, right? I don't know if y'all remember those commercials.
Yeah.
So it's beer. So let's see here. Last time I was drinking one of these, I was in a hot tub in down close to your neck of the woods in Cape Coral, Florida.
Sounds like a
little bit different environment this time for that.
Yeah, pretty much opposite.
Freezing my ass off in my basement right now. So it's not bad.
You hate Leonard the Dolphin, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, F that fish. So
he's dead. He's already dead.
Right.
What'd he do to you?
Sad. Sad situation. I love Red Stripe. I mean, I would highly recommend it. I think it's, you know, a fairly popular beer when you wanna feel Jamaican, you wanna feel Caribbean, you wanna kind of, you know, have that feeling and everything. You just kind of sip on one of these. They're very, very smooth. A little bit of sweetness to it, really. You know, it's only a 10 on IBUs, 4.7%. So it's just an easy drink and smooth. They call it a Jamaican lager, but there's not really a actual, you know, Jamaican lager genre of beer. So it's just a light lager, basically. You know, just a good summertime drinking beer. So I'm just going to pretend like it's not January 9th or whatever and 20 degrees outside. I'm just going to have a Red Stripe and just relax. That's all I'm going to do, guys. I highly recommend it.
Good. I've never had a Red Stripe before.
Stubby little bottle. Yeah, I mean, it's really, really good. Easy, like I said, easy drinking. Matt would love it. You'd like it, Connor.
I've never had that. I've never had a PBR. Like a lot of these that I've seen the bottles for, I've never had. Mm-hmm.
What are you saying? What are you saying over there, Matt?
I don't know. That just looks
like. Never had a Red Stripe?
No, hooray beer. No, I have not.
Really?
I'm good.
It's
good
stuff, what type man. Of beer is it? Like, what's
it's
the?
Lager.
What's,
it's a lager.
Lager.
Light lager. Yeah, yeah.
I'd like it then.
Jamaican. I mean, like, they call it a Jamaican lager.
Yeah, I'd like it.
Yeah, it's very smooth. It's not bitter at all. I mean, doesn't have much of an aftertaste. I mean, it's just very, very easy drinking. You know, like I said, if you're sitting in Kingston, Jamaica, on the beach or whatever, it's a good beer for that. It's a good beer for really any time. It's a good, like, beer with a meal. You know, if you're having, like, I love jerk chicken and plantains and all that kind of Jamaican and Caribbean type food. So it washes that down real nicely and smooth. So it's good stuff.
What would you compare to basketball?
I mean, I'm gonna have to say Mr. Nick Richards from Jamaica.
Yeah.
So
not a great player by any means, I'll say that.
Right, but he improved consistently. Yeah. He was just smooth, easygoing, smooth talking dude, you know.
Yeah.
You know, great kid, never got in any trouble. I've never gotten in any trouble drinking a Red Stripe or anything like that. So, you know, I think shout out Nick Richards for the Red Stripe. Yeah. Hooray beer.
So let me ask you a question. Trivia question, since I didn't really get my full one for my upset pick. There's a Beatles song that was inspired by an LSD trip and a poem. Do you know the name of the song?
Well, since the only Beatles song I know is Yellow Submarine.
You think it's Yellow Submarine? Any other guess?
It's the only Beatles song I know.
Was it Everything on Sgt. Pepper's?
It wasn't on Sgt. Pepper's.
Actually. It wasn't on Sgt. Pepper's.
I don't think it was. I'm not, you know, just a disclaimer, I'm not a huge Beatles guy. I appreciate what they've done for the music and the influence that they have on literally every artist that's ever existed past then. Yeah. But I'm not a huge fan of their music. But this is one song I do like a lot, actually, by them.
Go ahead.
I Am the Walrus.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So let me give you a little. Yeah. I Am the Walrus. You might ask why I'm saying this, but there is a beer from, what is the name of the brewery again? Hidden Springs Ale Works here in Tampa that is called I Am the Walrus. It's a sour ale with plum and bourbon soaked oak chips. But yeah, just to give you that little trivia fact, it was inspired by, it was on the A side of Hello Goodbye, written from their television film Magical Mystery Tour. And it was partially inspired by two LSD trips in Lewis Carroll's 1871, The Walrus and the Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, a funny story about that real quick. There was a radio station in Louisville when I was in sophomore or junior year of high school. So this would have been like 96 or 97, 95, 96, 97.
I was one or two.
Yeah, so a music station, I can't remember what the name of the station was. I think it was like 102.3, but I can't remember the name of the station. Before they officially went on the air, I think for like a week straight, they played I Am the Walrus over and over and over again before they officially went on the air. So it was, you know, like a promotional like the, thing. Like we were playing like it in school and everything. Like the
What's New Pussycat video or get.
Yeah. So like a week straight, they played that on their station before they officially came on the air. So anyways, quick story on that.
Wild.
But it's, I love
it. Right, let me give this a try. It's weird. Can't even deny it.
I'm not saying it's good. Are you tripping?
It's not bad. It's not good though. Like, so it's a sour ale. I've had a good sour ale before. I think I've done on this podcast, whereas the Warheads one, the blue raspberry one, that was good. This is not the same. Like sour ales, I don't know if you've had them before, but it's not the same. Sour ales are decent, except for like this, like, I don't know, like when I drink lemonade, if it's really tart or if I eat something like Sour Patch Kids or something, right under my eyes start to sweat, like my cheeks start to sweat. That's what's giving me this, and it's not enjoyable. So I'm going to give it like a 3.5 out of 10. It is 5.5 ABV. I couldn't find the IBUs on it. But yeah, it's definitely had that sour flavor to it. Like the actual taste itself is fine. It's just like the aftertaste is bad, if that makes sense. But I don't taste, like I taste the plum a lot. I'm not a huge plum guy, but I love the can. I mean, like the can itself is just, you got to check it out. Like it's pretty dope all around. So I'm a sucker for a good beer can. The beer could be awful, but I'd buy it just because the can looks awesome. Comparing this to a college basketball team, not great. Not even really that good. Tulane basketball.
They still have a team?
Yeah, surprisingly. I love Tulane football.
I haven't
thought
about Tulane basketball in 25 years.
I love Tulane football.
I literally mentioned him like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, it's one of those teams.
He just went to football there, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Tulane football, great. Tulane basketball, where have you been? So, yeah, Tulane basketball. I am excited, though, when we go down to New Orleans. My brother is turning 18 that week, so we are celebrating his birthday, but also we're getting him out of school so we can visit some schools. So we're going to visit the Tulane campus, and I want to, if I can find a shirt for like that powder blue shirt for Tulane with the green wave on it, that'd be dope. I definitely want to get that. So,
man, just looking at, I may have never had a sour ale in my life. I'm looking at the list of 12 best sour ales of 2021 or to drink in 2022. And I have drank zero on this.
All right,
list.
It's growing on me, actually. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
The more I sip on it, the better it gets. I just had drank a Mick Ultra, so I wasn't expecting that. So that maybe that's why. I'm going to switch my rating. Let's go 5.5 out of 10. It's growing on me still. And we'll bump it up to like NC State basketball. No, they won a championship. They won a championship. No.
I was going to say.
Vanderbilt? Let's go Vanderbilt. I kind of like root for them every once in a while. Basketball. They suck in both football and basketball. So it's Vanderbilt. Yeah. Sorry, Tulane. You're getting knocked out by Vanderbilt. Not in real life, of course, but we're going to move on to must-watch games of the week. Whatever you're doing during this time, stop. Check out these games. I didn't even list the times this week because there's just so many games that I feel like you're going to put one on and it's going to go straight to the other one.
There is a pretty good schedule this week.
It's a great schedule this week. It sucks that Dal wasn't on. So shout out, Dal. We miss you, buddy. But whatever you're doing, stop, turn these games on instantly because you're going to get some enjoyable basketball. Might not be good, but you'll enjoy it because it's good competition. So Tuesday, number 11 Iowa State versus number 6 Kansas. Can we pause before we give any predictions on this? I want to go on the record, and I will pull receipts if I need to, saying Oklahoma was going to beat either Kansas or Iowa State. They beat Iowa State. I said Texas Tech would either beat it wasn't Oklahoma. It was Texas Tech would either beat Iowa State or Kansas. They beat Kansas. They lost to Iowa State. I think Oklahoma played Kansas and then Iowa State, and Oklahoma lost to Kansas and beat Iowa State. And I said it was like it was an inverse of the other. So my Notre Dame is right there. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling like the gut check from Matt, that Matt gets. And I'm on board with Oklahoma this year, man. I think they're going to make a splash in the tournament. So this is not about Oklahoma, though. This is about Iowa State and Kansas Tuesday night. What you got? Give me a prediction.
Iowa State, much like with Duke. I mean, I think the team's just too talented to drop two in a row like that. So I'm going to go to Kansas. I don't know what I said.
I was going to say, like, they both dropped games on Saturday. Yeah. So,
but I think Kansas is the better team. So I'm
Yeah, Iowa State's overrated. Give me Kansas. They're Bill Self, I talked with him over some beers, and he said that he's not going to lose two in a row like that. So give me Kansas. I say Kansas by 5 at minimum. What do you think, Kyle?
I'm going to go with Iowa State just because I don't want Kansas winning any more games. So
that's petty but true.
So there.
I get that.
Eat it.
All right. So then later that night, number 25, Texas Tech versus number 1, Baylor. Side note, these are all the rankings from as of Sunday night. We record Sunday night. So if you're listening Monday after 12, probably different rankings. But at the time, this is what we got. I am all in on Texas Tech right now. I think they're just going to go in and I think they're going to stun the Baylor at Baylor. I mean, they looked really good. Even when Kansas went to that zone the other day, Texas Tech went on a 9-0 run after when Kansas got in striking distance and then just put it away. So
Baylor's on another level. Going Baylor.
Baylor is on another level.
Their defense is, I'll say that. Their defense is, but their offense is not.
I was looking at this one as my upset pick, but went in another direction. I'm going to stick with Baylor. But I think it'll be –
I almost went with this one on my upset pick, too.
Yeah, it'll be a good one, but I'll stick with Baylor.
Yeah, all right. Number 9, Auburn goes on the road to Tuscaloosa to face Nate Oates and the Fighting Roll Tide. Number 15, Alabama. I think Alabama gives Auburn their second loss of the season this week.
Yeah, I'm going Bama. I think it's conference play, man, and, you know,
Bama's home coming team. Off of a loss to Bama's a bad off a loss. Missouri team.
Auburn's kind of rolling along.
Yeah, but I think there's a point where you roll along and you just think everything's going to work out, and that's usually when you get caught and
get a boulder
playing at Bama.
Right,
just tough. So even though it is a rival, it is kind of that rivalry because it's obviously not what it is in football, but give me Bama.
KenPom has this 79-78 Alabama winning.
Yeah, I believe that. I think it'd be more like 89-88, but I'll take Bama too. I think they're going to be hot coming off that loss.
this is probably, if there's a game, like, I don't know if Jabari Smith is going to, like, I can't pick a player from Auburn that's just going to suck. You know what I mean? Like, they have a really good team this year. I think it's just going to take a elite play from Bama, and I think they're going to want it more because, they, like you said, they came off that loss. Auburn hasn't been tested except for LSU, but that was LSU at home. So give me Bama. Later that night, Oklahoma versus number 14, Texas. This, I know, man, Oklahoma isn't
Tuesday
ranked.
Tuesday is loaded with games, guys.
Yeah, it will be. Oklahoma will be ranked. I think they'll be ranked by the time this airs. So Oklahoma versus number 14, Texas. What do you guys think?
Give me Texas. Yeah. At home, coming off a loss. Just give me that. I just think it's going to be that. I think about most of these, especially the Big 12, most of these conferences, I think you're going to see splits on the week. Like, you might lose. If you lose Tuesday, you're going to win Saturday and vice versa. So,
yeah,
give me Texas.
Yeah, sticking with home team also. I'll go with Texas. And like I said, this, like, Tuesday's schedule is
the slate is amazing.
Is it, are we not starting, I guess we're not starting the Monday games for the Big 12 and the Big East, because usually it's like,
I looked on the schedule for the upcoming thing. There's no must watch games on Monday, so if you have you need to take your wife on a date or your significant other on a date, do it Monday night, because you won't be missing
and miss the championship game. Watch your mouth.
I mean, we saw this game, but it's going to be a good rematch, hopefully. But if you rather watch basketball this week than championship game for football, go ahead and do something Monday night. Schedule something Monday
Save
night.
Save up your time for Tuesday, definitely.
Yeah, I agree with you both. I think Oklahoma's good. It's just going to be tough at Texas, and they're coming off a loss, like you said. Oklahoma's coming off a win, so they might feel a little, like, a little bit of hangover there.
Mm-hmm.
So give me that one, Texas by 5. Then we have Wednesday night is number 19 Villanova versus number 22 Xavier.
Yeah.
I'm going Villanova on this one.
Yeah, me too. Just kind of, I feel like Nova's a much better team. Just kind of hadn't really got it figured out. I think this is where they start. They got a big road win.
Yeah, I'll be different and go with the Musketeers here, since they're 30 minutes away from me. I'll go for the semi-home team here. I'll take the Musketeers in that one.
We already talked about Duke versus Wake Forest, but just make sure you're watching that one on Wednesday night. I think Wake Forest can pull off the upset at home. Then we have Thursday night, number 13, Ohio State versus number 23, Wisconsin. Let me go on the record and say we owe Wisconsin an apology on this podcast. You guys weren't on. Dal and I kind of crapped on them, so did Beard a little bit. So Wisconsin's good. Johnny Davis is good. There's a bit of overreaction about Johnny Davis that I'm not here for, because they still play in the Big 12 and or Big 10, and Big 10 basketball is a little bit overrated. So it's okay.
As we recorded, they won a tight win at Maryland tonight. Yeah, so.
But Maryland sucks. So
they're still rolling.
Yeah, I'm Wisconsin. They seem to be getting it together.
Wisconsin at home. I'm going Wisconsin too, but I'm not on board with Johnny Davis, the best player in college basketball.
Yeah, this is I personally will watch another game this day, because I can't watch Wisconsin play basketball. So I'm going to pick the Buckeyes again.
My face is sweating from this beer.
God. Is it too sour?
It's just, no.
Are you tripping? You going on a magical mystery tour yourself over there?
Yeah. No, it's just this. Sour things make my face sweat. Lemonade. No,
I hear you.
Sour Patch Kids, Warheads, all that stuff.
Well, I'm taking Buckeyes.
All right. Then we got same night. BYU goes on the road to the Kennel to number 4, Gonzaga.
Gonzaga by 20.
Been a while since 20. We talked about Cougars.
I know. I actually almost pitched this one for my upset. Gonzaga, I feel like it hasn't played forever. And when they have, it's been like a snoozer of a game or, you know, loser team.
Yeah,
BYU is a legitimate tournament team. They really have a good shot. I think they'll probably be like a 6 or 7 seed. But this is one of those games that would sneak up on you in a tournament. And I think BYU is going to give Gonzaga a little bit of hell. Being that it's away for BYU, I don't think they'll pull out the dub, but it will be really close. I say Gonzaga by 3.
I have no idea if this is correct or not, but it says tickets are going for almost $500 for that game.
Why?
I don't know. I can't figure it out.
It's at, where are you seeing that at?
I'm just on ESPN app. You know how they say tickets.
Probably the last good game.
Tickets is low. What the hell?
So KenPom has this 83-72 Gonzaga winning, but BYU is 25th in KenPom, and Gonzaga's 2 in KenPom rankings.
I'm going to go on.
It's tough, man. Gonzaga's defense is looking good compared to BYU offense, but...
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I want to roll with my Cougars, obviously, but I think it's going to go to it's not going to go overtime, but I think it'll go to the last minute and BYU will have a chance.
Yeah,
you know, they're going to scrap and claw. I'm trying to look up this. I'm trying to look up this ticket. I know the Gonzaga's place only seats like 6,000, but I mean that's insane for a Gonzaga BYU.
This is one of the few good opponents that's coming to the Kennel, though, so keep that in mind. But yeah,
I can't find it in time here.
BYU versus Gonzaga. All right, and then Saturday, number 18 Tennessee versus number 16 Kentucky. If we get Sevier Wheeler back, give me Kentucky by like 15.
I'm nervous, but give me Kentucky.
Yeah.
So Sevier Wheeler has to come back for us to win comfortably.
You think so? I mean, Ty, I wasn't, you know.
It wasn't the guards that lost it for Tennessee. It was the front court.
Yeah.
They had really good guard play, actually. Viscovi and Chandler both played really well against LSU. So we need our best backcourt for sure. And right. I love Ty, and he did great at that point, but our offense was, it was pretty good. Defense struggled, and that's where we missed Sevier Wheeler the most, I think, the other day, was a defensive end, because he's in your face. He's giving you hell, your lead point guard hell, similar to Hagans. So I'd like Kentucky, if they get Sevier Wheeler back, by 15. If they don't, I'm not picking the upset here. Kentucky will win by like 4.
I think regardless, I'm going Cats by 12.
Fair. Do you have a score prediction there, Matt?
Nah, I don't think about it much. Like I said, that one's too close to heart. Just I'll win by 1. I don't care if it's 1-0. I'll take it.
So KenPom is saying Kentucky's going to win by 5, 74-69. I think that's factoring in Sevier Wheeler. So, all right. And then the final one, number 14, Texas versus number 11, Iowa State. Give me Iowa State because I predicted Texas to win earlier against Oklahoma. Iowa State is going to come back since they lost to Kansas on Tuesday and is going to beat Texas on Saturday because they're not going to take 3 losses in conference play in a row. It's not happening, even though I think they're incredibly overrated. So is Texas, though. So,
what you just said. But Texas winning, Iowa State losing. This is just how that conference is going to go. It's not a lot of conference. I mean, we're going to sit in the SEC when there's – I think Alabama has a mean stretch right after the Big 12 challenge. Kentucky's going to have a stretch where I think they play – I want to say Tennessee – it's at Tennessee, Bama. You're just going to see it all over the country.
Yeah, it's going to be like split weeks. You're going to go 1-1 in a week.
And I think, honestly, you talked about like how the polls may change. In my opinion, there's going to be a little change up at the top. But that 10 through 20 is probably going to look identical from last week just because every one of those teams split this week.
Yeah.
I want to take Texas here because I feel like Texas is going to start rolling a little bit. They just lost at Oklahoma State. So they're, you know, I don't know. I'm going to go with Iowa State, but I'm not.
Yeah, crazy keep in mind it. This is the second game of the week that we're talking about for Texas here. So,
right.
If they take care of business at home against Oklahoma, they'll be 1-0 in the week.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I think that they'll, you know, kind of start getting it rolling again. I don't know. I'm toss up here, but I'll go ahead with the home team because I'm pretty much the same. My thinking is along the lines of Matt's and just home teams are just gonna. Kind of, you know, I think it's going to be like 80% 80-90% home teams this conference season this year in basketball. So I just think it's the way it's going to go.
All right. So we're going to wrap things up. We have the last call here. So, Matt, go ahead and give us your last call just for the listeners real quick. This is our closing segment where each host has like a minute or so to share any closing thoughts, any hot takes, any stupid tweets they want to call out, fandom talk, whatever. We just try and keep it like a minute or 2 minutes for each host. So, Matt, go ahead and kick us off with your closing thought and plug your podcast, buddy.
All right. Well, first off, my biggest pet peeve is in a time with analytics – and where this old way is going to supposed to die, there's one decision that still gets made that I'm just not down with. It's you're down three with less than 2 seconds left. So the foul conversation is not even in the discussion right now. Percentages, especially in today's game where they're all, where Steph Curry's a hero and everybody's practicing half court shots. If you're down three, me throwing, you know, a player throwing a clean pass to the top of the three-point line on their own side that they're inbounding, taking about one good step, squaring up, and hitting a half-court shot, while difficult, that has to be a higher percentage shot than this Joe Montana to Jerry Rice thing they try to do 75% down the court where the guy has to catch it like he's the Niners, that guy from the Niners in the 80s has that all-time great catch, where he has to somehow catch it, come down, square up, and shoot in like 1.5 seconds.
Unless his name's Christian Laettner.
Well, even then, that was a tie game.
Had and nobody was guarding the inbounds. Well,
and you could catch it and shoot anywhere, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, even if he missed it, the game wasn't over. There was no pressure on that. And no matter where he caught it, really the only thing in that situation he couldn't have had is had the guy throw it over his head and go out of bounds. That's the only thing that couldn't have happened. But when you're down three in this day and age, give me – you could probably get a nice clean pass to around the top of the three-point line, take about a step, maybe two, depending on how much time, get a nice squared-up heave, dead-eye in the middle for a half-court shot. That has to be much easier than you trying to squeeze it in. Because what was it, the game yesterday, Villanova versus UConn? And then he caught it. He luckily caught it, but he looked like he was about to stumble, and he was about 3 feet inside the three-point
line. Oh, remember Keldon Johnson 3 years ago? Three or four,
against Seton Hall, where he caught it.
Seton Hall, it's perfect.
Like, I get it. I feel like that's one of the decisions coaches make because they can defend it. Well, I tried to, you know, I had to get it to a good shot. The shot itself might be a better shot, but everything you need for that shot to be there is ridiculous.
You're talking about taking like a step or two though. At that point, I don't know. I'm thinking defensive minded. I'm going full court press. I have somebody guarding the inbounder. I'm going to have like three people right there. I'm going to make you go over the top if I can. I'm going to put some, obviously I'm going to put like a, you know, a couple, two players back, two midline, one guarding the inbounder. But I mean, as soon as they catch that ball, they're not getting a clean look. I'm telling my players to foul, make and send you the free throw line.
You gotta be careful on that. With like I said, that's why I said with about 1.5 seconds, because you foul, you're going to foul on that shot.
Yeah.
Well, coaches don't even do that because they don't want to be they send everybody down there, and you're basically throwing the ball, I don't know how long a court is, you're throwing 75% of it into where nine people are. Yeah, they all know it's coming.
Because I understand what you're saying. You just want a shot. It doesn't even when you get below 2 seconds, it almost doesn't even matter where the shot is. But I mean, you just want a shot, an attempt.
Every one of these kids now probably spend 15 minutes ever practice heaving up half-court shots. Yeah. I'm not saying it makes it any easier, but I guarantee you it just seems a lot easier than trying to catch. You know, I think Cal ran one of the better ones that ironically only worked one time that 2011 season. It's where he had Terrence Jones send right about mid-court, and he would do like a hook and ladder. He would catch it and flip it back. But just the whole heaving it down, hoping a guy comes up with it, and then has the wherewithal to put up any kind of decent shot. Yeah. Just a pet peeve.
I get it. What's your pet peeve, or what's your last call on that pet peeve, Kyle?
Well, I'm going to rant. I'm not going to rant. I'm just going to vent some frustration on the quality of the officiating so far this year. Just so inconsistent. I mean, it is what it is at this point, but I just feel like I just wanted to talk about it for about 45 more seconds. Just disappointing. I mean, it's not even, it's just obvious calls at this point that are just totally being missed. And, you know, there's no, the thing for me is there's no real public accountability for it. And I think that's just a no-brainer that there should be. I mean, the lead official, everybody else has to, you know, everybody's talked about this. Everybody else has to come out and face the music and answer questions and, you know, show their face and everything. And, you know, I just don't, I don't think that it's right that everybody else that's involved in these basketball games that are very important on many levels for a lot of people in their lives, especially the players, they're, you know, three of the folks out there, three out of the 13 people that are on that court that, that have a say in what happens between those lines, they don't have to be accountable or publicly accountable anyways. And, you know, even if they are accountable privately to their superiors and their supervisors, it's just, they're all buddies and everything. So it's just a slap on the wrist. Most of the time, you know, you get the video sent to the office, all that kind of stuff, and you get judged and all that, but it's just the same guys over and over and over again. We've been seeing for years and years and years that are inept and missing calls here and there. Can't keep up with the pace of play. Maybe there needs to be another ref added, you know, so you have two on each side at all times. You know, whatever needs to be done. I think it starts with accountability, and they don't have that. And, you know, we've tried to go with replay and video, and sometimes you even get the replay and they get it wrong. So it's just ridiculous. I think they're just, you know, needs to be accountability is all. That's all I'm asking for. I'm done.
Yeah, abolish the charge rule. Offensive fouls, just like NBA.
The charge. Yeah, I mean, it should be a block 80% of the time. It's a charge 80% of the time. It's totally ridiculous.
Yeah. So here's the thing. College is not, they're never going to come out and say it, but it's the next step to get to the NBA. It's prepping these kids for the NBA.
It is, especially
major
now.
Coaches are saying it. Whatever. College, you know, the NCAA is not going to say it, but if you want a quality product, you mimic a good quality product. The NBA has that. You should mimic the NBA. Go to quarters, six fouls, abolish the charge rule, stop making it a referee show. Less fouls is better. Less fouls is absolutely better. Better for the sport. So, I'm with you, man. The inconsistency this year has been awful. So, all right, my last call. Actually, I was going to talk about our the radio show that we all know and love, but they kind of made up, I guess, a little bit. They come after our boy Beard. Didn't love that. But there was this guy tonight that calls himself the Gym Rat. He says he is a college basketball guru. He's been on Twitter since May 2015. He said, Kentucky is the greatest college basketball program of all time. Quotations around the greatest college basketball program of all time. And hasn't made a Final Four in 7 years. At the end of the day and current time, Tennessee has been more relevant than Kentucky. And that is proven with the recent games. Tennessee 3-1 at Rupp in 4 years is laughable. My God, what an awful, 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 awful take. To even say that Tennessee is relevant in college basketball is laughable, but like it's just so insanely accurate. But he said this 6 hours ago. Keep in mind, not even 24 hours ago, Tennessee got smacked by LSU in a game where they had full LSU, they had their full lineup, and Kentucky just 5 days before that lost their two primary ball handlers and brought it down within 30 seconds, had a chance to win it. To say that Kentucky is not as relevant as Tennessee in basketball, God, you are the biggest homer I've ever seen. So Tennessee takes another L this week. They always take L's. I quote tweeted it, and then he said, in reply to my quote tweet, he said, "You're always finding me," in a clown emoji. He said, "Oh, not you again. You always manage to find me." And then I replied, "Buddy, I can't help that you spew nonsense and it shows up on my timeline." Because that is just absolute nonsense. So go follow the Gym Rat 13, whatever his name is. I mean, he's probably going to block me if he ever hears this. I'm waiting for one of you guys to just take the snippet, this recording, and tag him in it. But good Lord, I mean, like, you can't call yourself a college basketball guru and completely have biased takes. Like, I am a huge Kentucky fan. I'm not going to sit here and say Kentucky's been the best team since 2015 because they absolutely have not been. But they're far from irrelevant in college basketball, considering they've made two Elite Eights since then. How many Elite Eights has Tennessee made since 2015? Oh, wait, they haven't. They've made one Sweet 16 and got knocked. Their best team in 20 years was last year, and they got knocked in the round of 32. You are irrelevant, Tennessee basketball. Sorry, Derek, whatever your name is. College basketball guru, you are not that. Sorry. So with that said, we're going to close the episode on a better note because that just got my blood boiling again. Oh, so funny. So I'm going to plug something for you, Matt. I listened to your podcast last night. It was good. I enjoyed it. Uncut. So go listen to the Big Blue Breakdown, Uncensored, whatever you want to call it. Big Blue Breakdown. He did a recap of the Georgia game. It was like 20 minutes. I was listening to it, playing a little bit Apex on Xbox. I enjoyed it. He broke down the roster, how they performed. That was great. I love the segment where you bring up other people's tweets without mentioning their names. You called out my tweet, making fun of Matt Sack, hashtag cancel Sack because of his tiny TV. So
yeah, he did have, he needs to get that shit together. Know what? For people listening who maybe haven't dabbled, we're going to compare, beer podcast here, obviously. This show is more like, I'm going to hype this show up. This show is like Woodford Reserve, right? You just sip it, right? You pull it out. You're like, hey, you don't pull out Woodford Reserve like, hey, real quick, we're about to go to the bar. No, you're in for the night. You light up a cigar. You break out the Woodford. Big Blue Breakdown podcast is more like shots of like cheap whiskey.
Yeah.
My goal is to come out with something about every day. It could be anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes, and it's just going to be just whatever it is. So if you're looking for something where you're like, hey, I'm going to do some things, going to chill, this is the show for you. If you're like, hey, I got 10 minutes to kill, let's just hear some rambling ass shit, I'm your guy on that one. So
go follow that.
Yeah.
Go follow that. Go follow him on Twitter so you could get updates on his podcast at Blue Breakdown. And then we got Kyle, UK fan Kyle. Go follow him on Twitter. I don't think he's got anything to plug yet, but I feel like we could be working on something that I feel like Kyle's got something up the
way. I'm working on something, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
well, you got can we just plug this badass basement? I mean, we talked about it last time. He's got an awesome
crib. I'm never going to get the recognition in my office that you get for your basement, but it's okay. I got a new flag or whatever.
Yeah, your office looks transactional. Like, I feel like, yeah, there's some cool stuff there, but it's like, I feel like I just feel like every episode, Kyle should just walk around his house for about 15 minutes and we'll be like, mm-hmm.
I just found out that Spotify, you could leave ratings, and I don't think there's a review section yet, but I know you could do that on Apple Podcasts. If you listen to Apple Podcasts, leave a rating, write a review, subscribe and follow on Spotify. Leave a 5-star rating. We'd love that. The better ratings we get, the better content we're going to get because we're going to get more money. So we can actually make this more of a job and less of a hobby. So do that. Like us, follow us on Twitter if you don't already, at Beers and Buckets. And I'm really excited about this week of college basketball. Like we said, Tuesday night, the slate is amazing. So I can't wait for it. I'm going to get me another one of these. I'm the Walrus Beers because it's now bumped up to like 6.5 out of 10.
Mm.
It's growing on me, buddy. It's growing on me. My face is sweating like crazy, but it's growing on me. And I might go talk some crap on Twitter to Tennessee fans. But for now, I'm going to leave you guys. Thank you for joining me tonight. Thank you for listening. All those who listen, go ahead and share this episode. We have something fun planned for you soon to get this show growing. But right now we're at 280, I believe, for our followers, which is not a lot on Twitter. I'm a little disappointed. 281. So by Tuesday at 7 p.m., if we're not to 300, we're going to cancel the podcast. No, I'm just kidding. But please get us to 300 followers by Tuesday at 7 p.m. If you listen to this, go share the page, whatever it is. But yeah, I appreciate you guys coming on. Thanks for listening again. And let's go. Crap, I always forget to think of a team every freaking week. God dang. We did Demon Deacons last week. What's Stanford?
Go Green Wave. They even have a team?
We've talked about that. Stanford Cardinal. Let's go Stanford Cardinal since we all picked them for the upset. So yeah, the trees. Let's go Stanford. Let's go upset this overrated freaking USC team. Go trees. Go environment. Go eco-friendly. And have a great week, guys.
Scary ass tree.
Oh, what was that?